Welcome to Steadfast Hope. As always, I'm Steve Lawson, and as always, this is Kent Steinbeck.
Where's your lid?
And, well, they just took my lid away. And we're coming to you from Herb's House Coffee Shop, and we've got a great study in store. We're in Proverbs 10, verse 15, Kent, and the title of this is Wealth's Advantage. And the Bible has so much to say about wealth, and I think sometimes when we think about wealth, we immediately can go to a negative perception, you know, that wealth be a temptation and a snare. But in this proverb, it is presented in a very positive way by Solomon, who was the richest man in the world. And if we tried to equate his wealth in today's dollars and cents, it would just blow our mind.
He'd have more than Elon Musk.
Oh, absolutely, he would. So let's read this proverb. It says, "The rich man's wealth is his fortress. The ruin of the poor is their poverty." And so the contrast is between the rich man and the poor man. And he says of the rich man, and when we think of rich man, you know, wealth is a relative thing.
Yeah.
And a rich man is essentially someone who has more than what he needs in the basic needs of life.
Yeah.
A poor man doesn't have enough to meet the basic needs of life, but a rich man has more. So, and some have much more, others just have more. But a rich man's wealth, it says, is his fortress. Now, it could literally be translated a strong city. But the idea is that his wealth provides him a hedge of protection in difficult times. When an emergency comes, when an unforeseen trial comes, it can provide the resources needed to survive that troublesome time. It can provide protection against misfortune. It can provide safety when there are medical needs. So wealth in and of itself is not an evil or immoral thing. It's how you perceive wealth and how you use wealth. And here it is presented as a fortress, as someone would approach times of uncertainty, that you have resources to go through a very uncertain time. And so we all need some measure of resources to be stored up. On the other hand, he says, the ruin of the poor, and the word ruin means destruction and devastation. The ruin of the poor is their poverty. And their life is like a city without walls that could be easily invaded by troublesome times. They're vulnerable to unforeseen disaster or difficulties that would come, and it leaves them defenseless. And they are now, when there are financial downturns, they are left at the mercy of either their lender or at the mercy of other people. They have no recourse, and so it does lead to their ruin. And Solomon is just making a general observation of life that is true. And so, Ken, I think it underscores what's behind this is the importance of hard work, the importance of wise spending, the importance of wise investing, the importance of even saving. And when a person has made poor decisions, or they're a sluggard, and they haven't really accumulated resources, or they have an entitlement mentality when they really could work, but they choose to be lazy. and not work. I mean, it just leads to their ruin.
Yeah.
So, as always, we want to talk about how this relates to our lives.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about, you mentioned this briefly, but who is wealthy? I heard it said if you have more than, you know, two pair of shoes in your closet, you're wealthy. Because most of the world only has one pair. Is there some legitimacy to that?
What is wealth? Well, I think, again, wealth is having sufficient resources to have food and clothing and the bare essentials of life, shelter, what is necessary to travel to work, whether that's public transit or you have your own car, to be able to feed your family, to be able to give to God's work and to give to the Lord. These are all parts of really wealth.
Yeah.
And when we think of wealth, I mean, we immediately think of someone who's
always more that has more.
Yeah, it's like a billionaire.
Yeah, the guy has more than us. Yeah.
But in reality, we have wealth if we can go through life and take care of our essential basic needs.
I see. Okay. So you mentioned this, but let's expand on this too.
Yeah.
People can grow up more in a very modest way.
Yeah.
And some people grow up in maybe an affluent way.
Yeah.
But the person that has modest, that it's very modest and the pennies and dimes are saved to just be able to go to the movie, etc. Isn't it still, and talk about the attitudes, you talked about that, you can still have a sense of entitlement on the meager side.
Yeah.
And the person that grew up more affluent does not have the sense of entitlement, and they have more of an attitude of work. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have seen that, Ken.
And so it's back to the heart here, isn't it? Trusting in the Lord?
It is, and you use the word work and as opposed to entitlement. The book of Proverbs commends industriousness and hard work and a work ethic. And that's a part of acquiring wealth, and the Bible actually commends this. And you even have resources to take care of someone who might be an orphan or a widow or someone who finds themselves in a difficult situation. There should be the accumulation of wealth so that you can even come to the aid of someone else in their time of need. And then others with an entitlement mentality, I mean, they just always are waiting rather than being active. And you know, the old saying, the early bird gets the worm. I mean, they're not out of bed. They're like the sluggard who's turning in his bed and waiting for it to come to them rather than for them to go out into the world and put their shoulder to the plow and be at work in the field. So an entitlement mentality brings destruction and brings ruin. And I think there are many, even today, who expect the government to bail them out of certain situations.
Yeah.
When instead, no, you really should have been way out ahead on this. And, you know, I think when you're hungry enough, it becomes a motivation to get out and work hard.
So, again, to summarize what you're saying, I think you're saying no matter where your level of wealth is, if you've got an extra $100 or an extra $1,000, that's an extra amount of wealth. If you don't have anything and you're still barely making it, we still both of those categories and anywhere in between need to be trusting the Lord ultimately.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Not in this. Are there circumstances, but and that's why a wealthy man or a man that has extra can be effective to the Lord.
Yes, absolutely, Kent. And I think Christian businessmen are like pillars in the kingdom of God and in the church, and God uses them in extraordinary ways, and even Christian business women. Who really are a means by which God works to help facilitate ministry and meeting needs in the lives of other people. So there's much truth and there's much wisdom in this proverb. And Lord knows our country here in America desperately needs this proverb, desperately needs it. Well, thank you for joining us today for Steadfast Hope. I trust that you're a hard worker, and I trust that you accumulate resources to take care of yourself and your family, and that you're willing to put your shoulder to the plow. And with perspiration and sweat, no matter how menial the job or the task may be, to work hard to provide for yourself and for your family. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.